Right, so look, as we've been reminded, it's Palm Sunday today. It's a very important part of the Christian calendar leading up to Easter. And I often say, and I say to our church, I was leading communion on, it was our Bible study and communion on Thursday. And I was saying, do you know what? Easter, Good Friday, and then obviously the Lord rising again, is probably the most important part of the Christian, you know, calendar. Of course we look to Christmas and the coming, and that's important. But to think that we've got the Lord Jesus, he came. Yeah, I'll be moving around, I'm afraid. Look, guys, you're not going to have these barriers. Right, okay, I'll move around. But it's the most important part of the Christian calendar, isn't it? To think that Jesus died and he rose again. So what are we going to do? Very quickly, I don't want people looking at their watch, yeah? Palm Sunday, and we're going to look at how Jesus made this tremendous journey to Jerusalem. And as we look at it, we're going to look at, yeah, four things. And if I see anybody looking at their watch and saying he's on only on number two, right, you're going to be in trouble. I'm going to come out. All right. So I'll be watching. We'll move on quickly. If you look as if you're bored, I'll be ages. I will be. But if you're looking at me and you're with eagerness, I'll be dead quick. Only it'll be a few minutes. So I'm watching, okay? So let's see. Four things, very quickly. We're going to look first of all at the what? That was like a damp squib. If you don't know me, we're going to get... It was what? Foot number one, the? Right, number two? Number three? And number four? But don't worry, Phil or Ben, whoever's preaching on Easter Sunday, I won't go too much into the atonement, but I'm going to mention that a little bit. So don't worry. We're going to be brief. We're going to be quick. What was the rules? What have you got to do? If you're looking bored, I'll be what? Ages. Absolutely ages. Up to a couple of hours. If you look as if you're interested, I didn't give you the time how long I'll be on that one, but I won't be long. Okay. But let's see how we go, because this is so, so important. Okay, so our first one is the authority of Jesus. Please turn with me to the reading that was read for us. Now, I'm used to the ESV. Well, I was brought up on the King James, and I said, I'm never going to move. Then I went to the New King James, and I thought, that's it. I'm not moving. And now I'm on the ESV, and this is it. This is what we use at our church. So I hope that's okay. So Luke chapter 19, and let's just pick it up, because our theme here, and I notice, I think as a church you've been looking at Luke, is that right? What an incredible book, people. I hope you've been excited with Pastor Phil and Pastor Ben and others who have preached on. It's full of incredible things. And in fact, leading up to chapter 19, when if you were to look at some of the miracles and the things that Jesus did, was incredible. And of course, we haven't got time to go into all of that. So well done to all of those. What chapter are you up to, Pastor Phil? Or Pastor Ben? Sorry?
We're in 11 at the moment.
You're 11. All right. Okay. But leading up to loads of things going on. All right. Dalton, stick to your point. Okay. The authority of Jesus. Let's have a look at this triumphant entry. Look at verse 30. Our text. Here we are. Here was Jesus with his disciples drawing near. And then Jesus gives out this, to me, what seems an incredible command. Look at it, people, everybody. All right, let me just... All right, I'll stick to my ESV because that's a bit smaller. And when you get to my age, you realize you can't see things very well. Verse 30. Go into the village in front of you, where entering in, you will find a colt tied, a donkey, on which no one has ever sat. But then it goes on here in the ESV. Untie it and bring it here. What a strange command, it would seem. Go into the village. There's going to be a donkey. I want you to untie it. But even more strange, read on, people. Let's have a look. Verse 31. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this. The Lord has need of it. Doesn't that sound weird? So here I am, two people, said the men, going into the village. going to look out for a donkey and even forget the owners, forget anybody. If anybody says to you what you're doing, what should you say? Come on, what should you say? The Lord needs it. Well, that was a command. This was a command from the Lord. Well, let's just go on. Well, we've looked at that. We're going to say, well, this is absurd. You're going into a village, you're going to untie it, and you're going to say the Lord needs it. Well, people, if we try to do that today, what would happen to us? You'd get arrested. Of course you would. Probably be a big fight before you get arrested. If the owner sees you, they'll think, what's going on? But can you see this authority of Jesus? Let's just hold it there. There are times in our lives when we don't understand things. We're wondering what's going on in our lives. But do you know what? We've still got to trust God. We've had some amazing things happening in our church recently. And, well, I may say a little later. We'll see how we go. But we've got to keep on trusting God. All right, so that was a command. That was what they needed to do. But it's interesting. It's a command actually fulfilling what was written how long ago? Maybe over 500 years ago. Way back in Zechariah. Can someone read that text I've just put up? Right? So you're all not going to just sit here and listen. We're going to get you involved. Right. Can someone read that for me? Incredible. Again, written over 500 or so years. Prophecy being fulfilled. Yes? People talking about the Bible is not real and it's not consistent. Load of nonsense. It's real. Written through all these many authors. Incredible. So let's go back. We're saying about the authority of Jesus. So the verse goes on. Let's read on. Oh boy. As we read on, let's pick it up again. Verse 32. So those who were sent away and found it just as he had said, that's the Lord, and as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, what's the word again, people? The Lord needs it. There's a repeat. And when we see this, we've got to take note. And there are times in our lives where it said, the Lord needs you. Maybe in service. How are we doing in the church? Are we run out of, we've got too many helpers in every department, Pastor Phil, Pastor Ben, and we're not being funny. They've not given me a fiver to say anything or whatever. But, it's incredible. The Lord needs it. And maybe the Lord needs you to do something in this church. Maybe. Are we willing? Am I willing? Maybe it may not necessarily be in this church. Maybe something in your life, something that needs to stop. Are there people here who are not Christians? What really is stopping you from following the Lord Jesus? What really is it? Yes, as Rod mentioned, I deal with international students, and one of the great joy. Oh, praise God. Every 6 weeks or so, we get a minibus load from Leicester University and De Montfort University. I think because I preach at Leicester and De Montfort, I do Bible studies from time to time. When I do it, I talk to them about Globe Cafe. So every Monday, we have international students from literally all over the world. Many of them are not allowed to go into a church. Many of them, when they come, they're taking a picture of the scripture reading and the whatever's going on there, and the video in it. And then they go back and play it in the halls of residence, and they really want to know more. But the great joy was seeing a young lady from Romania a few years ago. Oh, boy. When they came in, what happens is we have the church trip, they come, and sometimes we have a meal at church, and sometimes we have meals in the home. And I said to my wife, Sarah, there's this young lady, there's something different about this young lady. She wanted to know more. Cut a very long story short. Well, on a trip that we had, our pastor was preaching about the cross And this young lady came to know and love the Lord, following the Lord right now, and in fact in our church, and she's teaching in Sunday school, she's married, just only about 4 or 5 years ago. Wonderful. We give God the glory. Is anything too hard for God? No. Damp squib, I need it louder. Anything too hard for God?
No.
That's more like it. Okay, you could see why I only come once every 10 years. They can't put up with me, too much. But what a God, people. We get excited. The authority. And even the owner here, it says, when the owner was asking, what did we read? Verse 33, and they said they were untying the colt. Its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. Were there any arguments from the owners? Nothing recorded here. You know, nothing. The owners, they were stumped. Oh, the Lord need. Oh, carry on. We see the authority. And I could say so much more, but I must move on. I did say I was going to move on quickly. All right, let's see how we go here. All right, I've already said the next bit. The colt, I want you to notice also, I'm talking about the authority of the Lord Jesus, was what? The colt was what? Could someone read that last bit? Oh, does it not come up on there? All right. Okay, right. What could someone read that last bit for me? What does it say? The colt was?
Inexperienced.
That's right. Incredible. Can you think? Now, I'm going to go into the detail of this now, just for a moment. A colt, a young donkey, no one's ever sat on it before, is going to walk through. You think of the Jubilee and all the Platinum Jubilee. I won't say who was mad enough to go to London, but, you know, there were thousands of people. I think Rod and Liz went. Anyway, we won't talk. But loads of people went. But just think, walking through toward Jerusalem, a donkey, untrained, not being used before. The noise, you'd think, I know in the West Indies you'd see anything, they'd go wild, all over the place. So Jesus, we see the authority on a donkey, walking through. Never been used before. Does it say anything? If you've got a Bible that said the colt went all wild and loopy and whatever, throw it away. There was none of that. I don't underestimate this. The authority of Jesus over the animals, over the owner, over, obviously, the disciples and all those around. Incredible. I pray that you'll see this Palm Sunday in a different light, in one sense, when we see the power of our Lord Jesus. All right, let's move on very quickly. What did we say? The second bit, the adoration of Jesus. It says here, the whole what? How many turned up? The whole what?
Multitudes.
There were loads of people there, and they began to rejoice, as we find here. Verse 37 onwards. Look, verse 37. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes, and so on. And it was great. But it's interesting. Who didn't like what was going on? What was a group of people that didn't like what was going on? Come on. The Pharisees. What were they saying? They were moaning, weren't they? But what was Jesus' answer to the Pharisees to say, even if you try to stop them? What did Jesus say? And I love this. Praise the Lord. That's right. Even the stones. Verse 40. Look at verse 40. You try and keep them quiet. Even the stones. Wow. Isn't that amazing? What a God. What a Savior we have. Come on, people. Hey, don't say we've got to rejoice this morning. Yeah, don't say, well, I'm British. I'm more, you know, I'm not. None of that business. Hey, we rejoice when you've got fire in your belly. Hey, Jesus. Anyway, as I say, see you in 10 years' time. I'll make the most of this. Okay, right. So the adoration, we thank God. And it's interesting, actually, as we look at this, we've got to notice here the word Hosanna is translated in Greek. Again, all of this may still sound the same to you. Where are we? Yeah? It says transferred. I'm trying to. Yeah, that's it. It's translated in Greek as Hosanna. In English, we know the word Hosanna. And really, it means save us. The people are almost crying, save us. Probably save us from the authorities. Were some of them really wanted to be saved? There may have been some who really recognized Jesus as the King, the true Messiah. There would be those who were truly crying out. And there may well have been those who wanted, they were crying out because of the oppression that they were going through. But save us. And how much we need this saving, the Lord, to save us even today, don't we, people? We need to cry out to God. Don't get used to the fact that there may be people in your family who are not Christians. I was challenging even back in our church on Thursday. I said, you know, there's a danger that we get used to it, that there are those in our families who are not Christians. Don't get used to it. We've got to pray for them, that God, in his ways, in his time, will save them. And we find here, why palm branches? Well, in ancient times, pine branches symbolize victory, triumph. And it's interesting, if you look in Revelation 7, verse 9, it talks there a little bit about that as well, how palm branches were used. Praise God. So, what have we said so far? Point number one. What was point number one? The authority of Jesus. Point number two, the adoration of Jesus. I hope we are adoring God and we're looking forward to, in a sense, to Easter. Yes, Good Friday, but thank God for Sunday. Rose again. But then we look thirdly. What can we say thirdly? The what? The anguish of Jesus. Real anguish. What do I mean by that? Let's look at our verse. I'll put it up. Luke 19, verse 41. As Jesus drew near, it says here, when he drew near and saw the city of Jerusalem, what did he do? He wept. And do you know, and I'm trying to look at everybody straight in the eyes, because Jesus wept. He wept over the loss. He wept over Jerusalem, soon to be ruined. He saw the idolatry, the sinfulness of Jerusalem. He also knew that he was going to be taken. He was going to be crucified. But he was weeping over the fact of lost souls and people. What did Jesus do when he entered Jerusalem? One of the first things he did was what? He went into the temple. What did he do in the temple? Threw them out. Thank you, Pastor Phil. He did. What were they doing in the temple? Trading. Thank you, Pastor Ben. They're on form this morning. All right, good. They're always on form, aren't they? Praise God. We're always. That's right. All the money changers. Those buying and selling. Threw them out. Jesus wept. And you know, I made a note here. And my saying, but it so affected me these last few weeks. And I quote something from Matthew Henry. He says this about Jesus weeping and Jesus coming down the mountain and Jesus looking over Jerusalem. Matthew Henry said, Jesus had full view of the city and his eye affected his heart as he was moved with compassion. He was moved. Are we moved over the lost, I say again? Those were not Christians. This is why summer I'm involved in street evangelism. I meet young people whose lives are messed up. Booze, drugs, sex, in that order. One man, 42 years old. He looks about 60. And there he was, sat on the park bench with gin and cider. I'm no expert, so I don't quite know the mix anyway. But the hospital have refused to operate on him because his liver's completely packed up. And they said, you've got to stop drinking. Until you stop it, it's going to kill you. And this man was sharing all this with us. And we were talking about Jesus. And he was literally wanted the leaflets. Because he wanted to know more. He had tried the ways of the world and he's come back empty. Dear people, I don't know what you're trying this morning, but the ways of the world will kill you if you keep on that pathway. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Yeah, sing with me. I'm straight as a die. I will tell you as it is. We need to follow him. You follow the world, it leads to utter destruction. So many lives have been ruined. Booze, drugs, and sex. You know, don't live for Jesus. And if you're not the Christian you used to be, if you're in the wilderness, as it were, even backsliding, come back. There's no lasting blessing in the wilderness without Jesus. Come back. And for those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus, let's keep on keeping on for Jesus, hey, in these days. Because the world is watching you. And if your life is no different, why should they believe? Our lives should reflect what we believe. If it doesn't, why should the world believe? How are you this morning? If we were to do a rain check, a temperature check, back row, front row, can you all see me? Yeah, praise the Lord. Good to see you. You got the best seats there, have you? Okay, all right. But, you know, we perhaps need to do a temperature check. Where are we with God? Are we still on fire as once we used to be when we were first saved? I remember when I was first saved, I wanted to know more. Prayer meeting, that meeting, almost meetingitis. They say we got. And then sometime, bit by bit, we start to draw back. Why do we draw back? There's a man called Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was saved on a snowy night. He was a visiting preacher. And you say, oh, it's going to be dull and nothing. Oh, well, like me, dull and boring, these visiting preachers. Anyway, it was a... But Charles Haddon Spurgeon was saved on this incredibly snowy night. And you know, he was so full of joy. When he went out, some of you know what I'm going to say, he wanted to preach to the snowflakes because he was so excited. You got front row, bro. You get knocked about front row. Can you see the others? They'll go well to the back. Look, all empty. They don't want to come near me. Nah, you're brave. But Charles Haddon, he was preaching to the snowflakes. Why? Because he was so full of Jesus. Are you full of Jesus still? Are you not the Christian you used to be? Oh, may the Lord relight that fire in you and in me. We all need it, don't we? We pray before coming in that the Lord will burn the dross that's in us all, even in me and you. So what are we saying? We see Jesus, he wept. And as he approached Jerusalem, saw the people, saw the city all over, he wept. And now interesting that the people, ones who was crying out, Hosanna, we find some of these same people. What were they doing? What were they crying out now, some of them? Crucify him. Crucify him. And it's interesting, you know, that how fickle people are. We are, aren't we? You are. I am. We're changed with the wind. We're changed with everything. And, you know, I know what it's like. I'm afraid. Autumn, what I love about autumn are the colours. I don't like the dark nights and I don't like the cold. I don't. You know, I love my son. My wife, the opposite. She loves the cold and, oh, dear. Anyway, won't go into that. There we are. We're all different, aren't we? But these people, they're crying out, crucify him, crucify him. They shout it out. All these things we find in Luke 23 and verse 20 onwards. How fickle. But Jesus knew what they were like. And he wept over them. And he weeps over you and I. So as we're drawing towards a close, how are we doing? I'm checking. Do I need to be another hour? No, you're all looking as if you're... Yeah, that's fine. A few more minutes. Yeah, you're still there. Let me check the projectionist. Those guys at the back were there. Yeah. Back row, we're all still with me. You're with me. Oh, good to see Nora. We're all there, aren't we, sister? Lovely. We're there. Right. So, fourthly, as we're finishing, you may think, why has he got that? Well, the atonement of Jesus. What do we mean by that? Yeah. Big verse. Hey, do we know this verse? We probably know it too well. Jesus reminded the disciples that he will be taken and crucified. Turn back to chapter 18. I want one of you to find the verse in chapter 18. Chapter 18, yeah, I've got the verse here, but I want you to find it. I want to make sure everybody's still with me and you've got your Bible. Good to hear the pages moving on. What's the verse I'm after where Jesus was telling his 12 disciples something? What's going to happen to him when he goes back to Jerusalem? Towards the end of chapter 18, what's the verse I'm looking for? Yeah? Keep looking, yeah. Yeah, 31 we'll start with, but that's great. Chapter 18, verse 31 and 32. Let's have a reader then. Someone read it for me, nice and loud.
And taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise."
He will rise. Jesus talking about all that was going to happen, right back to being killed. And we can glory this morning, without me going into too much of next week, of this wonderful verse. And with this wonderful verse, we see the passion of God's love, which is why Jesus was willing to go to Jerusalem. What's the passion of God's love in this? It says, so. And I'm going to say to all preachers here this morning, if ever we preach on this, don't just go, "For God so loved the world." I want you to stop and look, "For God what? So loved." We stop for a moment. So loved. Do you know, you're so loved by God. That there's enough there to send us home and keep us going for weeks and weeks and months and years to come. For God so loved. This is why Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen. He gave himself up. And in fact, even before the foundation of the world, this was all planned. Yes, I believe that. Before the foundation of the world, it was all planned that Jesus would come and die. For God so loved. We see the passion of his love. What else can we say? The perimeter of his love. Right, I want everybody. Which two words can we use to say that describe the perimeter of God's love? As we look at John 3:16. Come on, two words. The world, thank you. The world. See, keep you all, that's it. Keep the great matters going. We're all with me. The world. Oh, what a verse. For God. Not only love, but so love. The passion. The perimeter. The world. What else can we say as we move forward? God so loved the world. Thirdly, we can see here the what? The proof of God's love. How do we see the proof of God's love as we look at this? What verses can we say? Two words. He gave. That's right. He gave. You sure? You're not been looking at my slides, have you? No, of course. He gave. Oh, isn't that wonderful? It's not Dalton King trying to be clever with the use of words, but it's true. You see how big this verse is? The atonement. All that Jesus did. The proof. He gave. Thirdly, or fourthly, the price of God's love. What can we say when it says the price there? His only son. Oh, precious. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. On that dark day, he died. And there was a son. When it should have been at the brightest of all, the sun should have been shining bright, there was darkness. And if you hear anybody talk nonsense about total eclipse, I nearly said, no, don't say hit them, but they're talking nonsense. This was a miraculous act of God. There was darkness over all the earth. Your sin, my sin, laid on him. Incredible. His only son, he who knew no sin, made sin for us. And then we could say the protection of God's love. What can we say? What did he do? What's a protection? What do we get? Who can tell me? What words can we use to describe the protection? Should not perish. Yeah? But what are we going to have? Should not perish. That's right. Protection. Should not perish. But have everlasting life. Well, may the Lord cause us to rejoice this morning, people. Yes, Palm Sunday with a difference, yeah. What a God. What a Savior. What have we said? Point number one. You're not going yet. First point. The what? The authority of Jesus. Praise God. Point number two. The adoration of Jesus. All came out. Point number three. The anguish. Jesus wept. Point number four. The atonement. And then we looked at how he came, for God so loved the world. Well, may the Lord stir us all up